300. Heck, I just read in the newspaper they put a pig heart in some guy from Russia. You know what? I mean, you know what that means?
No, I don't know what that means. I guess longer life.
Well, no, he didn't live.
Oh, he didn't live.
No.
Oh.
It's just exciting that we're trying things like that.
Yeah.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland.
Well, good morning, West Texans, all you good, fine, friendly folks out there who wish you were. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. We will take you to 1 o'clock here in the Arctic Air Studios, turn morning into afternoon with you. Fine folks listening down in San Angelo on ESPN 960 here in the Hubbleplex. Talk 103.9 FM, news, money, sports. You could already be texting in. You know what to do. It's Bandwagon Wednesday. The bandwagons you're on, the bandwagons you're off. Things you're supporting, things you can't get behind. You've clambered on one. You've clambered off sports or otherwise. You tell us 806-855-3712. Always use that 806 or it goes to the angry man in Florida. He will not speak sports with you. So 806-855-3712. We got Bandwagon Wednesday. We got Tech Baseball. A bad, ugly, stinging loss in New Mexico yesterday. I've said it for years. Never play in New Mexico. Never play at New Mexico. If you can avoid it at all costs, don't play New Mexico in anything. And it rears its ugly head. We'll explain why some losses are worse than others, obviously, on that front. We've got your question of the day waiting for you. Happy Major League Baseball opening day tomorrow. And just, I think every team is going to be in action, I believe, tomorrow. Not one of those where they string it out over the course of a couple of days. We'll celebrate that with our question of the day. And are you ready to win some games 56-54? I mean, not a half, but I mean a game. The extended stay. I hope they had an option on the rooms for Kirby Hocutt and the crew there in Vegas watching Grant McCaslin, because he's going to be coaching in the finals now later on this week of the NIT. A spectacularly unspectacular game last night that almost defied belief when you look at what did not happen over the last 10 minutes of that game. So get on the text line, 806-855-3712. If you got the app, great. If you don't, get it at kkm.com. You can listen to this and everything else we do wherever you go, including the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2, Monday through Friday here on Talk 103.9. Turn on the notifications. We don't want you to be lonely, so we can notify you. Follow the station on Twitter at Talk1039. Me, I'm just Ryan Hyatt, at Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter. The show never ends. We come back in the evening with the daily broadcast. If you miss it, we've got it for you on our website, theraiderland.com. All sorts of original content you're going to find right there. So check us out tonight. We'll be back with you around 6:30-ish on Twitter Live, at Ryan Hyatt Media. He's Rob Bro, the aforementioned host of the Rob Bro Show, one-third of the Gambling Gauchos. And he pulses people, king of hat of the day, and a really good-looking baseball cap on today, at Rob Bro Show on Twitter. Happy Wednesday to you, man.
Happy Wednesday. Yesterday, that game, the total was 114.5.
Pre-flop.
I said on my show, that is a ridiculous total. I would bet the over. That's what I said. I would hammer the over. Wisconsin had 42 points in the first half.
Yes, they did.
And I said, I am a genius.
There's no way.
I am a genius.
It was the lock of the century.
They scored 13 points in the first half of the second half. And I said, just a couple more baskets and we're good to go. They don't need to score 40. They just need to score 20.
Right.
They didn't score again.
At all. A majestic 10-0 North Texas run that covered over 9 minutes of game action.
That game closed at 111.
That's unreal. Unreal.
Just incredible. They scored 42 in the first half.
I am very curious as to what the Tech fans are thinking today after they watched that.
I mean, it does remind you of
Texas
Tech years.
There's peak Tech defense 2018, 2019 right there. I mean, it was in your face last night. Watching the mean green screaming Eagles beat Wisconsin. To be fair, Wisconsin plays that game all the time. Not to take anything away from Grant McCaslin's crew, but hey, that's why Wisconsin's in the NIT. That's a fairly normal offensive whiteout or whatever, blackout or blankout or anything you want to call it for them. All right, let's get the question of the day out there for you. And then we'll start getting some of your bandwagons processed, 806. 855-3712. That sounds really official. We'll process some bandwagons today. In honor of opening day, we need bunting up here. Do we have any bunting lying around the station? Surely we could find some. We need bunting for opening day. And we get to eat a hot dog tomorrow. Give us the three greatest baseball players you've ever seen play in person. Did everybody hear the back part of that, right? Did you hear me say, in person, that you had to be there at the stadium, not on TV, none of that jazz, the three greatest baseball players you watched play on a diamond in front of your very own, maybe even hard-to-believe eyes at what you were watching? You get three today. It's really hard sometimes to narrow some of these things down to just one. So there's your Major League Baseball question as we celebrate opening day. And now I'm still feeling uncomfortable. Rob, I'm not used to this in a long time. Kind of easing my way back into being a Texas Rangers fan. Moderately optimistic. But I'm hearing national analysts say good things about the Rangers and the organization right now. Now, we're not talking about a team that's going to reel off 95 wins or anything like that. But, you know, they're talking about this team being competitive and, you know, an outside shot at postseason play this year, depending on how things break and what the division ends up looking like. And Rob, are we ready for this? Are we prepared to live in a world where the Rangers might realistically be an over 500 team and have a shot to make these expanded playoffs? I don't know.
I want to be.
I'm trying.
Their season total is right at, I think, 81.5.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, this is not just blind optimism. These are people who get paid to follow baseball for a living that they're saying good things about the Rangers. So we got that going on for us today. 806-855-3712. Text in the three greatest baseball players you have ever seen play in person. In person is the key right there. Man, right off the bat, you know, when I start pondering these questions, I start thinking about how I would answer it if I had to answer it, if I wasn't the host. Where should I factor Ozzie Smith in on greatest players that I've ever seen play in person? Because not only did I get to see him play, I got to watch him hit in the cage pregame underneath the stands at the Astrodome. Just Smith and whatever, you know, whoever was throwing the BP. We got to watch him for about 10 minutes down there in the cage. That, to me, I think almost nearly trumps watching him playing a game. It's a little, the other instance I have of that is the Big 12 baseball tournament. I think this was 2002, I'm pretty sure, was at the ballpark in Arlington for the first time. And Pudge Rodriguez was rehabbing from injury of some sort. I guess it was, maybe it was 01, maybe 02, I don't know. So he went out. This is, Tech had like the first game of the day, I want to say. So we were there at the park really early. And Rodriguez was there just doing an individual workout and watched him throw around to second and third and practice pickoff moves off his knees. And you're watching him do this. It would be akin to being at a spring training, you know, practice site or something. And you're just watching him do this. You're going, my Lord, he is not like the other catchers, is he? I mean, we knew this for over a decade at that point. Those are two right there that not only did I get to see him play, but I got to see him work out and just confirmed when you're watching that how great they are. So that's the question of the day. Give us the three greatest baseball players you've ever seen play in person. It is Bandwagon Wednesday, and then we can talk about Texas Tech losing 11-10 yesterday afternoon there in Albuquerque. It just had a bad feeling from the get-go yesterday. I mean, here I am, Rob. I'm on that Zane Petty bandwagon. Hey, you get another good showing under your belt, young man. There's maybe a place waiting for you on Sundays in the road. And then the first inning appeared. And they couldn't get him out quick enough. I don't think anybody was ready quite for that. I think you knew that New Mexico was going to be pretty good at the plate. They'd already proven that. They hit pretty well at their little rinky-dink high school field that is totally not Division I acceptable, in my opinion. But you see, what was it, the 5 spot in the first that you put up, or you put up the 4 spot, and then you immediately give up 5 in the bottom of the first. Petty gets through the inning, 7 hits, 6 runs, 5 earned, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. And it just kind of set a tone. And that, and then the runs given up after the runs, the Tech scored in 5 innings, and in 3 of those innings, you immediately came back and gave up runs after you got runs. That was also a problem in Austin over the weekend. And as we go through today, we'll talk about why this loss is that loss yesterday was worse than any 3 losses in Austin. That loss yesterday was worse than all 3 losses in Austin for this Texas Tech baseball team. And the impact of what you're going to have to do now to rectify that. Just don't play these people anymore. Don't do it. Spend whatever money you've got to spend to fly in quality teams to Danlaw Field. If it costs you an extra $300,000 a year, do it.
Play them in Lubbock. There's no reason you should have to schedule a home-and-home with Albuquerque's New Mexico.
No, you shouldn't. Because there's no point in going there to play a road game against RPI Team 170.
There's not even a press box.
No. And we're not being funny here.
No.
Jeff Haxton had to sit outside yesterday again. That's a joke.
And I know he was just joking, but he said it reminds him of the Summit League. You shouldn't have to be reminded of the Summit League in Big 12 baseball.
No. Not when you're Texas Tech.
No.
Sorry. It's just, the whole thing's just unacceptable to me.
And that was a bad loss, and I think that was your first bad loss of the season.
Yeah, and it hurt you. We'll tell people here in a little bit how bad. Doughboy checking in. He's the first one up today. Guns Up Trucking. They're down there in Portland, Texas, headed to Odessa tomorrow. Have a good day, boys, he says. If you see Guns Up Trucking on the road out there, give a honk and give a wave. And tell them to keep on trucking. All right, we got to take our first time out of the day. Hey, we're going to talk ABC Rodeo when we come back. I think we got a couple of barrel men waiting to jump in here. I don't know. We needed to bring in a couple of barrels, maybe make them more comfortable. Hope they don't mind sitting down for a few minutes. You guys text in 806-855-3712. Give us the 3 greatest baseball players you've seen play in person. Who are those 3 players? 806-855-3712. Quick break. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. It's 11:21. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro taking you till 1 o'clock today here in the Arctic Air Studios. If your air is a little too arctic maybe at night or not arctic enough during the day, you need to call the bear, callthebear.com. We got you on ESPN 960 in San Angelo and Talk 103.9 FM News Money Sports here in Lubbock. It's Bandwagon Wednesday. You guys can text in the bandwagons you're on, the bandwagons you're off. And then with Major League Baseball opening tomorrow, 3 greatest baseball players that you've ever seen play in person. 806-855-3712 for you guys to jam up the text line. Right now, we're on the bandwagon for the ABC Rodeo, the 80th edition. We got some guys in that we get to talk rodeo with. Let you guys introduce yourselves so they'll know who we're talking to. You go ahead first, Mark.
I'm Mark Putman. I am the 2023 ABC Rodeo Chairman.
Hey, backflip Johnny Dudley, the rodeo clown.
The rodeo clown.
That's
the not
one.
A.
The.
Not a. The
yes,
rodeo
right.
clown.
Backflip.
You've worked this event a few times, haven't you, John?
Yeah. My very first time coming here was 2004. I hadn't been here every single year since then, but this is probably my 6th time, 6th or 7th, I'm not sure.
Of course, now over at the Mallett Center there in Level Land, tickets are already on sale. You can go see my man Cody over there at Boot City and a lot of different locations that I'm sure Mark will tell us about. But all right, so when do we get started tomorrow? Because we got also, it's not just the rodeo. We got Jody Nix. We got all sorts of cool stuff going on.
We've got a vendor show that opens at 6 o'clock every night. We've got Jody Nix after the rodeo on Saturday night. Backflip Johnny's going to be here during the whole week. And we've got all the events. Barrel racing taking place every night. We got the mutton busting taking place every night. You get a full show.
Yeah, and the barrel racing around here, and everybody knows this, it has been so strong and such great competitors that come out of West Texas. That, I think, is one of the highlights every year on the rodeo. Johnny, do you are you aware of some of the competitors that are coming in, some of the top names that we're going to get a chance to see?
I hadn't even looked at a sheet yet, to be honest with you. You know, I'm just a rodeo clown. I roll into town and just have fun. I do like to look at the sheets to see who's going to be here, because we've had some really big names in rodeo that's been hanging around Texas all winter.
Well, and that's the thing, Mark, that I mean, people around here, it's the 80th edition, they're used to it. I don't think they realize the high-level event that this is, PRCA. You got some of the best stock in the world with Butler and Son. And correct me if I'm wrong, have they provided the stock for almost every ABC rodeo?
Every one.
Every single
one. Since the very first time, yes, sir.
That's amazing.
80 years.
Because that's what to get guys to come in, that they know they got good animals that they're going to get to work with.
Well, they got great animals. And then I will mention that right after our bull riding on each night, we're going to have a sonic bullfight with the American Bullfighters.
Oh, very cool. So
and,
we get a little freestyle.
Johnny's going to be in a part of that.
Yeah. Not the fun part of it.
Self-described barrel man.
Right.
Did you transition at a younger age into the barrel from just pure bullfight? You know, because the career arc for a lot of guys kind of works that way, and you just love being around it. You figure out ways to still be around the sport.
Yeah, well, whenever I started in the sport, I started to fight bulls a little bit, but I knew I wanted to be a clown. I knew I wanted to be an entertainer, barrel man, whatever you want to call it. But I started off fighting bulls, and I was pretty athletic and pretty good at it. I actually
You won't be around long.
Yeah, I actually fought bulls here at the ABC Rodeo. 1 year, they hired me to be a bullfighter, and I got busted up pretty good there. By the way, y'all's hospitals around here are nice. I spent the night there one night and got some screws and some plates and in my body to fix some bones.
Yeah.
And I learned pretty quick that it's a lot more fun to be the entertainer. It's a lot more fun to tell the jokes and get inside the barrel than it is to fight the bulls, for me anyways, especially at my advanced age.
Who inspired you? Who were some of the guys you looked up to, and when you started watching some of those guys coming up and said, I can do that. I can be like this and be entertaining while at the same time saving guys.
Well, I really never even knew much about rodeo. I was in the Marines, and a rodeo actually came to my base, and I saw the clown, and I was like, that looks like a fun job. So I decided, I was like, I'm going to kind of look into that when I get back out of the Marines and when I get back to Texas. And so whenever I got back to Texas, some of the guys I was looking up to then, there's a guy by the name of Rudy Burns. Rudy Burns, my hero. He's the one that I really watched, and I'd follow him around a little bit and, you know, try to learn from him. I mean, if he fell down, I'd write it down in a little notebook. Oh, he fell down funny.
Or, you know, yeah.
He lost his hat. I'll write it down in a little notebook. Oh, he lost his hat funny.
Well, so. And it's also, you know, you guys, they can say bullfighter clown. You're the first really line of defense for these riders. And before the Justin Healers can get there, you guys always throwing your body in front of imminent danger. What is the respect like between the competitors and the clowns?
Oh, it's a family out there. Those boys know that we're there to protect them. And if there's a good wreck, I mean, they always, you know that we're going to be there for them.
The nickname Backflip, I'm thinking there is either a really good story or you just woke up one day and said, I'm Backflip Johnny.
Yeah, what a dumb name. it was a great name when I was 22. I'm 45 now, and it's getting really – the backflips are still pretty easy. It's the landing that's not fun.
Yeah, the takeoff's easy.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah. It's just the landing that's starting to hurt.
Yeah, Cartwheel Johnny just wouldn't have caught on, though. I don't think that would have been quite the same. The kids coming out to see Cartwheel Johnny.
I think I have a future with Belly Flop.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mark, tell people where they can get tickets. And then this is a rodeo that does some great things in the community. I want to make sure we remind people what all y'all do there.
Yeah, you can get tickets at Cavender's Dollar Western Wear Boot Barn, both Jibos in Lubbock and Leveland, and of course Boot City on 19th Street. And all of our proceeds, Ryan, go to the Lubbock Boys and Girls Club.
I mean, and that stays right here, obviously.
It does.
This is in what y'all are able to do. I've learned firsthand where you can keep the administrative costs pretty much at, I mean, a ton of volunteers.
Yeah.
This money that's raised, 99% of it probably, I think, ends up right there with the Boys and Girls Club.
Every bit of our proceeds except yet next year's startup money has got to go to the Boys and Girls Club. That's our whole reason for being here.
Yeah. We got Slack tomorrow?
Slack's today.
Slack is today.
Starts
so
at
Slack,
noon today.
Slack get going over there, so
mm-hmm.
if folks want to go over, they can
check
some of that out. Tell me more about the vendor stuff. We got just a couple more minutes here. I want to know more about that.
Yeah, we've got a complete vendor show. There's boutiques. There's jewelry. There's even some stuff for the guys. We've got a couple of tack vendors in there also. 35 or something at last count. I don't remember. They're taking care of that part.
That's awesome. That's something that just has amped up over the years with this rodeo. It's gone from just a rodeo to now what you're doing over in Leveland.
Yeah, we weren't able to do it here at the Coliseum. There was not a place to do it at. So, yeah, they've got an expo center over there that is great for the vendors.
Speaking of expo center, Lubbock Expo Center, are we hanging in there?
We're working on it every day. Working, waiting on a naming right, but we're working on it every day.
Is the location completely set, determined yet?
Or, yes.
Okay. Remind me again where the location
is. North University and the Loop.
Okay, that's right. That's right. My mind, I had it farther east for some reason. What if people want to get involved with that? If they want to help you guys there with the expo building and you know, want to volunteer or do something, what's the best way for them to get involved?
Get a hold of our chairman, Randy Jordan, over at Western Bank. He is the guy that heads up pretty much everything that we do. We go through Randy on everything so that we're not doubling up on things. But, Randy, he'll be glad to answer your phone calls. Always looking for sponsor money.
Appreciate it, Mark. Johnny, nice to meet you, man.
Hey, glad to be here.
Great fun weekend and walking out of there upright by the time Sunday rolls around.
Best to go.
Everybody go get your tickets, head on over to Leveland and have a good time there at the ABC Rodeo. Bottom of the hour break. It's a quick one. You guys jump on the text line, 806-855-3712. It's Bandwagon Wednesday. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. It's 11:35. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro coming to you from the Arctic Air Studios. 1 o'clock we'll take you to. Then it's the Rob Bro Show on Talk 103.9 FM News, Money Sports, ESPN 960 San Angelo. Question of the day, give us the three greatest baseball players you've seen play in person. We've got opening day tomorrow. We need bunting. If anyone has any bunting that we can hang up around here, that would be nice. And hot dog will be consumed on opening day tomorrow, one way or the other. Bandwagon Wednesday, the bandwagon you are on, the bandwagon you are off. We've got Tech Men's Basketball, the coach search. It's really not even a coach search anymore. It's like just the waiting. Wonder how much money Kirby Hocutt has lost there at the casino. Now he's got to wait a couple of more days to hire Grant McCasland. And we got Tech Baseball, really bad loss yesterday there to New Mexico. All that plus whatever's on your mind. 806-855-3712. We thank Mark Putnam and Johnny Dudley for joining us talking about the ABC Rodeo. Again, a great cause if you can get out there to the Mount Center. Please do this weekend. The texters are on the text line, Ron. That's where the cool texters are. One guy, Kenny Rogers, perfect game. Got to see that. Saw David Ortiz hit a couple home runs, and the texter said, I saw San Angelo great Jim Morris first game in Arlington. Wonder if that texter had like season tickets in the 90s, in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s or something, because that's you're seeing quite a – to just be going out to the park on a random night, you're seeing – Kenny Rogers, what, he threw the perfect game in 94, I think, and I can't remember what year Morris came up. Was that 96, maybe? 97? Still a great story. You know what we get to do today? We get to play baseball. Texter says, after a miserable basketball season, I thought maybe Tech baseball might make it all better, and they seem to be creating different ways to lose 4 games in a row. Go ahead and tell me they're young and it's early, just like we said December and January for basketball. By the way, Tech should never lose to New Mexico in anything, ever. Well, I agree with that.
They're young and it's early.
Yeah, and it's not apples to apples. Baseball's different. This is football guy. This could be football guy who can't handle basketball, who can't handle baseball here. But yeah, totally different. Now, I agree with you. You should never lose to New Mexico in anything.
That was a bad. There's two things that are true. That was a bad loss.
Yep.
After a bad series, and I have not lost any sleep about this baseball team.
No. Like I said, with Tim Tadlock teams, call me at the end of April. Call me at the beginning of May. Nothing fundamentally changes. Now, what happens yesterday, you dig yourself an RPI hole. You just playing them was going to hurt you. You lose that one. Now you're out of the top 50 in the RBI, D1Baseball.com. You go to 51. It puts some pressure on this team now. And we talked about this yesterday. The non-conference series with Stanford is going to be massive for this team later on in the season. And you've got to beat the quality teams in the Big 12, minimum 2 out of 3. I'm talking about this from the standpoint, Rob, of making yourself a top 16 national seed and a host. That the battle to host, and I think that should be 100% the goal every year for Texas Tech baseball, that you begin the year saying, all right, this team needs to be hosting a regional, that needs to be just factored in. To get top 8, a lot of things have to really go your way to end up being one of the top 8 national seeds. And when we say that, and again, I feel like sometimes we need to explain just a little bit, when you are a top 8 national seed, you are guaranteed to host a regional, and if you win it, you're guaranteed to host a super regional. That gives you the ability to play your way to Omaha without leaving your home park. You can host a super regional without being a top 8 seed, depending on what happens with the other regionals you're matched up with, if there are upsets or things of that sort. So you can still get there. But this really puts a premium now on this TCU series. You got to win it. And I hardly ever say you have to sweep. It's the first weekend of April. But if you could somehow get in a position to sweep that series, that would be massive. And that would help cover up the blemish. And you hope it is a blemish and not a midweek trend that we're going to start seeing of what happened yesterday in New Mexico. But that spot was just ripe. Rob, I called it on Diamond Talk on Sunday when we said this team, and I don't know how many people know this, they bust to Austin.
Yep.
And they bust back Sunday evening. You get back, and you get on a bus Monday afternoon to go over to New Mexico, a place you don't want to go to. This was a spot waiting to happen.
Yeah. And quite honestly, the last 2 weeks have been poor scheduling.
Man.
No midweek going into a Big 12 series on the road. I mean, how much better would it have been if you played on the road in New Mexico before you went to Texas?
Oh, yeah.
To get an extra game, to have
to get
a road
the
trip.
Suspension started.
Well,
too.
And you didn't know about that before.
Yeah, but I know.
Not having a midweek before a Big 12 series was weird to me. And then to travel right after you get home, that was bad scheduling.
And again, I'll say it. I know it's hard to get good teams to come to Danilo in the midweek. I truly understand.
Sure.
But you should never go to New Mexico. And if this athletic department needs to start factoring in an additional $500,000 a year into the baseball budget to bring in teams, that's money well spent. But you're sold out every game, right? Haven't I heard that?
Yeah.
You're sold out every game. You're rolling in money now. Hey, it's easy. This stuff is easy. I'm writing checks for Kirby Hokut every single day. But in all seriousness, if that's what it takes, that should be the mindset to overcome some of this non-conference scheduling problem. Texters are on the text line. We can get your thoughts on baseball today. We can get your thoughts on still waiting around on Grant McCasland. And it is, of course, bandwagon. So the ones you're on, the ones you're off. Question of the day, 3 greatest baseball players you've ever seen play in person. That is the key there. It must be in person. Someday you may be able to say Josh Young. Opening day starter, Texas Rangers. 806-855-3712. Texter says, Harmon Killebrew, Rod Carew, Reggie Jackson. And that McCaslin's team reminds me of Beard's. Number of floor burns was as important as steals and rebounds, akin to a defensive assist. And there's no doubt about it. He's got the players bought in on it. They play it. They play it hard. A Plainsman in Dallas is texting in. On the Ben McCollum becoming a Grant McCasland assistant bandwagon, beginning to realize how close their friendship is and how long they've known each other. Have our cake and eat it too, perhaps? Eh? the key to success right off the bat, I think I heard you talking about this on your show, Rob, will be the staff that McCaslin puts together.
Yeah. Did you read the story on McCaslin talking about Ben McCollum?
No.
I'd have to go find it, but just a quick paraphrase here. Somebody asked about Ben McCollum, or he brought him up just off the cuff. But he asked him to look at his offense. And McCollum said, it's boring, predictable, terrible offense. This is before, I think, 2020 maybe.
Right.
And McCaslin was just like, what? No, like, you're wrong. Like, that's not... And then he went and looked at some tape and looked at Ben McCollum's tape, and he's like, okay, yeah, this is
boring. This is predictable.
This is really bad offense. And he took a lot of what McCollum did and has tried to do it at in his
right.
system. So I don't think McCollum coming in would just change, because I don't think people realize to play defense like that, you can't just play a fast offense.
Yeah, like, you're managing possessions.
It's complementary basketball.
Yeah.
So you can't have, you know, the air raid and then play the steel curtain defense.
Right.
It's you have to do it together.
Well, and what they do, we're talking about North Texas right now, is that they control pace and they control possessions. And by controlling possessions, you're limiting possessions. And by limiting the possessions, like you said, that allows you to play that level of defense for 30 seconds down the floor.
But if you have the ball movement of Ben McCollum, you can play that slow and still get good shots.
Right.
Which is why the efficiency in very few possessions is up for McCaslin in the last 3 or 4 years from where he started there in the Conference USA. By the way, is the Conference USA the best basketball conference in the world this year?
They're unstoppable. You got two in the finals of the NIT. They already won the CBI.
Yeah. And you have a finalist in the men's tournament.
Salute the Hoot. You know, I mean, obviously it's a tremendous basketball league that Brett Yormark is probably hoping to aspire to one day.
I do think, and I'm joking mostly, but I do think that bodes better for McCaslin. Because I kind of wrote off the Conference USA when I first heard about McCaslin this year. I was like, that's just a bad basketball league. He didn't even win it. Well, FAU's in the Final Four.
Yeah.
He didn't beat them. UAB, he's about to play them again in the finals of the NIT. You struggle with Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
Have you seen what they did in Conference USA? They were like eighth.
Yeah. So, I think people are warming to the idea. One texter on the text line, 806-855-3712. Three greatest baseball players you've ever seen play in person is the question of the day. Pudge Rodriguez, Alex Rodriguez, and Ken Griffey Jr. And they say, I love them, Castlin Hire, even more now. Love tough teams. Defense travels. Yes, it does. Well, we're going to look silly here in a couple of days when it's not McCaslin who's announced as the hire or something. We've all but just ordained it at this point. Doughboy checking back in. Said saw Nolan throw his 5,000th strikeout. Ricky Henderson, he struck out every at-bat that game. Also seen Big Poppy and John Smoltz. I have never seen the Atlanta Braves play a baseball game. I've got a friend who's a huge Braves fan. He lives in the Metroplex and, you know, goes and makes the pilgrimage out there to Atlanta a couple of times a season, it feels like, or we'll go see them, you know, when they're down in Houston or kind of close by or something. That probably got me cheated out of seeing some of the best pitching. I never got to see Greg Maddux pitch. That would have been just absolutely fun to watch certain pitchers work at the height of their game.
Yeah, I've just missed a few really good pitchers. Best player I saw in person is Mark McGwire.
Yeah.
There at the old ballpark with the Oakland A's. I guess that was the Bash Brothers era, so I guess I saw Canseco.
You must have got Canseco as well.
I do remember a trip I took to Colorado. We drove all the way to Denver to watch the Rockies and the Phillies. It rained out. We were doing a suicide trip anyway, so we didn't get to watch any baseball. We just walked around the stadium, bought a hat.
Yeah.
Drove home. The next day, Roy Halladay almost threw a no-hitter.
Yeah.
We could have stayed and watched Roy Halladay.
Yeah. Always happens that way.
Yeah, but they were cheap tickets, and we were in college but working, so we had to come back.
Yeah. I missed a Rangers-Baltimore game by one day where the Rangers scored like 20-something runs, you know, on a Friday night, and we had the Saturday game that we were going to, and of course the next day, it's hotter than you know what, and just a really dead ballpark in Arlington that day, just not much going on. Closest thing we had to anything happening that day, Rusty Greer nearly hit for the cycle. He misses the triple because he hits a home run again in his last at bat. He had a two home run game that day.
Yeah,
four hit game, two home runs, double and a single. If he'd just laid off a little bit, you know, he would have had the triple off the top of the wall. Eh, baseball. What you gonna do?
You know, also Josh Hamilton, Mike Trout, a bunch of those Rangers Angels series.
Yeah.
This last year went down to Arlington to catch Josh Young in his first season as a rookie. Of course, he'll be a rookie this year too.
Yes.
But we just missed Aaron Judge on the chase.
Yeah, that would have been cool to be able to say you saw Judge that year.
Yep.
During that season, like so if you got to see Mantle.
He set out the day we went.
Yeah, story of my life. First time I'm watching the Royals play the Rangers there at the old Arlington Stadium. I'm excited, man. George Brett not in the lineup that day for whatever reason. I don't know what it was. All right, we got to take the final timeout, hour number one. We'll get you guys back on the text line. 806-855-3712. Text in three greatest baseball players you've ever seen play in person. It's opening day tomorrow. Hope springs eternal for Ranger fans. Bandwagon Wednesday. What bandwagons are you on? What bandwagons are you off? Tech basketball? Tech baseball? If it's happening, we want to hear from you. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Action update on Talk 1340. Check out VSiN's catalog of original podcasts, daily and weekly programming to keep you in the know when you're on the go. Only at VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Looking at baseball futures with the regular season getting underway this Thursday. The defending champion Astros open a plus 600 favorite to repeat as champs. The Yankees at plus 850. They're followed by the Dodgers at 850. Atlanta plus 900 along with the Mets. The Padres now a plus $1,000 bet. The favorite to win the NL MVP award this year, Juan Soto plus 550. Mookie Betts plus 950. Ronald Acuna Jr. plus 1,000. American League Shohei Ohtani plus 220. Aaron Judge plus 700. Mike Trout plus 800. Jacob DeGrom plus 600 for the American League Cy Young. And the NL Sandy Alcantara plus 550. Get the latest lines and more at vsin.com.
Final segment, hour number one of two. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro, host of the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2 on Talk 103.9 FM. News Money Sports. You got us 2-1 on ESPN 960 in San Angelo. It's Bandwagon Wednesday. Sports or non-sports? What bandwagons are you on this week? What are you off? And then question of the day, give us three greatest baseball players you've seen play in person. Three greatest baseball players you've seen play in person. We've got Texas Tech basketball still waiting on McCaslin. Tech baseball, tough, bad, ugly loss, 11-10. In New Mexico yesterday, and then whatever else you want to talk about. Tech spring football still going on. They had third session, I guess, was yesterday. We'll visit with Don Williams from the AJ later on the week and kind of get his early impressions.
Pro day today.
Oh, man, I forgot to sign up.
There were some people that I did not expect to see on the list.
Oh, yeah? Like who?
Seth Collins. Yeah.
Remember Seth Collins?
I do. And he's working at a pro day today.
What do you have, like a collarbone issue at one point or something, or a
shoulder?
That
was one of them, yeah.
Multiple injuries that he tried to fight through. Huh. Wasn't expecting Seth Collins. Did you see who was at the Baylor pro day this week?
Who was that?
Charlie Brewer.
Oh. There were some
you
guys.
You can come home again.
Nelson Ambanasor was at the Texas Tech pro day.
Huh.
That's interesting that they leave and come back.
Yeah. Of course, next year, pro day at the Star, Big 12 combine style. But I assume schools will probably still have their own.
Oh, yeah, but, I'm sure. There are 18 NFL teams in attendance.
Yeah, that's a lot of NFL teams.
Of course, Tyree Wilson's there.
Yes, he is.
Limited participant. He can't sweat. Did you see this?
Pardon? No, I didn't.
He can't sweat. He can't do anything that creates sweat because of his incision. He just got some stuff taken out of his foot.
So gotcha.
They put a plate or something in there, and so now he has an incision on his foot. He can't sweat.
Yeah, the old can't sweat.
So there's
the incision deal.
I saw him measure him earlier. I guess he'll just.
He's still
do that
a big guy.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. Breaking news: Tyree Wilson's still a large human being.
Wingspan confirmed. Hand size confirmed.
The overanalysis of all of this just blows me away sometimes. Texter on the text line 806-855-3712. I'll jump on the bandwagon of getting on the McCaslin bandwagon. Not who I would have went after, but if he's the new guy, then I have to think he has success. Again, I think more and more people are kind of coming around to it. You know? Let's see. Daryl Strawberry in New York playing for the Mets, says one texter. Nolan Ryan, Texas Rangers, historic 5,000 strikeouts. Bo Jackson, Chicago White Sox, and then Kirby Puckett with the Minnesota Twins. That's a good mix. You got to see some good players roll through there. Doughboy is not on the Mark McGwire bandwagon. Sorry. McGwire's a cheater. He doesn't count. But he is a huge Braves fan. Seen them a few times, he says. Texture on three greatest baseball players you've ever seen play in person. That is the question today. 2010 ALCS, Rangers, Yankees, Jeter past his prime, but still. And then Alex Rodriguez, Cliff Lee, Josh Hamilton, the list could go on. Best baseball series I ever attended, says the texter. Man, I wanted to be there so bad at that thing. You know? That even when they first got into the playoffs there in the late 90s and finally made the postseason and then got completely strummed by the Yankees then, that 2010-2011, that is just different. And I hate myself that I did not attend any of those games. Texter, I'm on the Tech baseball bandwagon, but at times I feel like us hardcore fans do more than our share of pulling the damn could use an assist from the team. Hmm? What does that mean?
Say that one more time.
But I feel like us hardcore fans do more than our share of pulling the damn could use an assist from the team. Do more than our share of pulling? Comma? Maybe?
Yeah, we're such great fans, the team should play better.
Yeah.
I think that's what
is that what the essence of that? I'm not getting that.
That's what I felt.
Yeah, I'm not.
We're doing our jobs, why can't they?
Yeah. I mean, they were laser focused on New Mexico. Couldn't even get any work done yesterday because they were so focused as a fan on New Mexico. And then the team just obviously not focused. The land of entrapment. 806-855-3712. That's 806-855-3712. Top of the hour break. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, featuring Rob Bro.
Excuse me, I believe you have my stapler?
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Congrats to us. We've done it again, and I'm not quite sure how we did it. But we've turned morning and afternoon one more time with you fine folks listening in San Angelo and ESPN 960 and Talk 103.9 FM, News, Money, Sports, and Lubbock. We've got you till 1 o'clock in the Arctic Air Studios. And it's the Rob Bro Show, hosted by Rob Bro. At Rob Bro Show on Twitter, one-third of the Gambling Gauchos. I'm just Ryan Hyatt, at Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter. Check out our website, theraiderland.com. We'll hit you again with the online live show tonight around 6:30-ish. So make sure you're with us on Twitter, at Ryan Hyatt Media. It is Bandwagon Wednesday. The bandwagons you are on, the bandwagons you are off. sports or otherwise. We ask you today, give us the three greatest baseball players that you have seen play in person. That's the key phrase there, in person. We have opening day tomorrow. Be ready for that. And then Texas Tech men's basketball, you're getting an odd opportunity to get a sneak preview of coming attractions. That for all the world, it looks like Grant McCaslin is the next coach or will be the next coach at Texas Tech. And you've had this extended run over the last couple of weeks by North Texas and the NIT where you can literally tune in and start scouting your coach in a way. I say this, and we're going to wake up Friday, and they're going to announce Darvin Ham as the new head coach or something. But I think we're on pretty solid ground here with the McCaslin thing. But it is interesting to really be able to sink your teeth in and watch and kind of get a feel of what it's going to be about. Now, it's not going to be every night 56-54. We know that. Sometimes it'll be 57-55 and maybe 59-58 or a double overtime thriller 66-65. I kid.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think he will be a little more offensive in the Big 12. He'll be forced to, in my opinion.
If you score 10 more points a game, what are you giving up more a game? 8?
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe 6. I don't know.
Because you're not going to get here and from 64 points a game go to 72 and then keep the defense at 54.
Probably not.
No, definitely not. You're not going to have a 20-point gap.
No, you're not going to have that just by virtue of number of possessions that you would be increasing on the defensive end. So
that's also the best number in the country.
Yeah.
You're not going to have that and score 8 more points a game.
Again, it'll come down to part of the Jimmys and Joes.
If you average 70 a game and give up 55 a game, you're going to be top 10 in the country at Texas Tech.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Texters are on the text line, 806-855-3712. Texter says, I know this is random, but Ryan, you're a pretty good interviewer, so good job on that. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't even know if I'm related to the texter, and I still say thank you. Says, I understand McGuire cheated, but that was the one year I was really into baseball, so I got to give the man credit for using steroids. Made me appreciate baseball for 1 year. The 1 year. The 1 year baseball fan. I tried it. I tried it for a whole year. Didn't like it. Let's see. Got a saddle tramp weighing in. Three best, Bo Jackson, Jack Morris, and then just the 84 Tigers, who started off like 14-1 or something, some crazy start like that. 16-4 maybe. To start the season in that 84 year. Man, I wish I could have seen Bo Jackson play some baseball. That's another one you kind of, you feel like you got cheated on if you never saw Bo Jackson play in person, and I did not. I did not see him play on the diamond or on the football field in person. And then he was gone. Texter saw Nolan Ryan, Josh Hamilton, and Albert Pujols. And I'm coming around on McCaslin. If Joey Norris and Mr. Womble are sold on him, then I'm all in. And that kind of goes back to just the beginning and the creation of the committee, and where if you're a Texas Tech fan, and you didn't like the names you were hearing, or you get down to the hiring process, then you're put in a box to say, I disagree with X, 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 and X. That, I love me some Joey McGuire, but obviously he's an idiot when it comes to basketball.
Right.
That Norris Odiasi, what does he know? How could he know anything? Well, Mr. Womble, he may be really astute businessman and a highly trained professional, but he's not as smart as I is when it comes to hoops. That committee was a brilliant creation. Whether it's by Hoka Design, as we had on Dr. Skuvenuk a week or so ago, whatever it was, to me it was a brilliant way to diffuse not all criticism, but to make you go through some hoops that if you come back and you say, I don't like it, well, then that's who you say you don't like, or you don't like their decision making, or you don't respect their decision making process.
Right.
Brilliant move. They should do that on every hire. And they probably will going forward.
It does give you some good cover.
No, it's great cover, and I'm not being sarcastic on it. I mean, it's fantastic cover to be able to come back and say, okay, if you don't like it, well, tell Joey McGuire you don't like it.
With this McCasland hire, I really hope this is, and people are going to take this weird, but I hope this is Kirby Hokut's last hire.
I understand what you mean.
In the, because you have golf locked up. Track and field, as long as Kitley's around. You got your
tennis coach.
You've got your tennis coach. You just hired Craig Snyder. Gerlich is locked in. Joey McGuire seemingly locked in. Greystone locked in. Stone locked in. Like, you should be good for 5 years with McCaslin.
Did you like to say, hey, we could roll with this entire athletic department without a change for 4 years?
Yeah. Whatever the timetable is, I hope this is his last major hire. I hope this works out, and I hope Gerlich continues her run, and I hope Joey McGuire doesn't go to anywhere else. I was going to say where I thought he was going to go, but I don't think people are ready for that.
No. Save that for your show.
No, I wouldn't say it then either.
Yeah.
Have got a bandwagon.
Okay. I got a bandwagon.
We've got a bandwagon that no sport has benefited more from NIL than women's basketball. I do think that ESPN has put more emphasis on women's basketball this year, and I think that's why the ratings are better.
Right.
But Caitlin Clark getting to be Caitlin Clark, and Haley Van Lith getting to be Haley Van Lith, and the twins there at Miami.
Miami, yeah.
The Cavender twins. If you asked me last NCAA basketball tournament to name 4 women's basketball players, I couldn't have done it.
Well, Stanford coach Tara Vanderveer thinks you're all wrong.
Right, Dawn Staley. But you go last night, Iowa versus Louisville, because it's Caitlin Clark and Haley Van Lith, they had more viewers than any NBA game on ESPN this season.
It's telling in many ways, but you're dead solid perfect on your analysis that NIL opened up windows to make these women's basketball players known outside of just women's basketball. It allows their personalities to come through and allows them to become stars in known marketable quantities that people want to watch.
Because you already had that in college basketball because guys are already getting talked to and on the forefront, and it's already open. You already have that in college football because they get interviewed, and it's on major publications everywhere. But I think the biggest jump has been women's basketball.
I would agree with you on that.
Or women's sports in general.
I think women's sports in general just...
They're getting so much attention really for the first time because people know who these women are.
Yeah.
Because of NIL deals and because they get to market themselves. They get to have a TikTok and make money off it. They get to have a YouTube channel. They get to have Instagram. They get to go out and do brand deals during college.
And I will use the term trickle-down effect, which, by the way, I believe in trickle-down economics completely. Case in example, Olivia Dunn at LSU. She's a very popular gymnast. She's a very good gymnast. And she is massively popular on TikTok, Instagram, all of that sort of stuff. Huge NIL deals.
Yeah, LSU sells out
That's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
That because of that impact, I can't remember where they went. They were on the road maybe like I want to say BYU maybe or something like that. BYU, very good women's gymnastics too. But yeah, they're selling out the competitions. Now, there have been, you know, places around college women's gymnastics that have had good crowds. Oklahoma is a very, you know, good example. Alabama.
And the SEC generally
does. Some of the SEC. But not like this.
No.
And why? Because of NIL. Because of the popularity of the athletes and the competitors that totally bypassed the traditional media that was moderately ignoring them for the most part.
Yeah.
And here we are. So you are 100% correct that I think it's women's sports in general.
And I don't think people understand the money you can make on Instagram if you have a following on Instagram.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars that you can make on that. 806-855-3712. Texter on the text line talking about three greatest baseball players they've seen play in person. Fernando Valenzuela at Dodger Stadium. Fernando Mania. Oral Hershiser at New Comiskey versus Bo Jackson's White Sox, but Bo did not play. Andre Dawson at Wrigley. The Hawk. That's a pretty salty list right there. Very salty. Texter. Howdy, fellas. Fayetteville Field checking in. Well, that is a blast from the past, I will tell you. Give me Mark McGuire, Pudge Rodriguez, and Ken Griffey Jr. Honorable mention and future hat tip to Bobby Witt Jr. Saw him play against our boys from 12U through high school. It was never pleasant. Yeah, future stars. Like I said, you might one day be able to say, saw Josh Young win. Future Major League Baseball Rookie of the Year, Josh Young, because it is the year of the Red Raiders. When we come back after the break, I have a bandwagon that Patrick Mahomes is not on. And I'm right there with him. And Rob, I think you may be right there with us too on this one. Continue texting. Give us some more bandwagons you're on, bandwagons you're off. Basketball, baseball, it's all there for you. Great time of year. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Breaux. Of 20, you got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Breaux, taking it till 1 o'clock in the Arctic Air Studios on ESPN 960 in San Angelo and in Lubbock. Talk 103.9 FM News Money Sports. Question of the day: give us the three greatest baseball players you've ever seen play in person. Opening day tomorrow. I screwed it up last year. I did not get a hot dog on opening day, and I don't know what kind of streak that may have ended. I'm sure I've missed it here and there over the years. But that's something going back 20-something years that, hey, it's opening day. I'm getting a hot dog. I'm getting a hot dog tomorrow. I don't know where. I'll take your suggestions and nominations for the most hot, you know, knocked out opening day hot dog I can get around these parts. But there will be a hot dog eaten tomorrow. And it will be substantial. Bandwagons you're on, bandwagons you're off. Little Tech basketball. Still waiting on McCasland. Now, they can't play any more games. They've made it to the finals of the NIT, so you know for sure they're going to be done later this week. And then if you want to talk about Texas Tech baseball, the loss to New Mexico yesterday, we can, 11-10. It wasn't good. Texter on the text line, 806-855-3712, says if NIL helps to make the NBA more irrelevant, then I am definitely on that bandwagon. Another texter. I've attended one Major League Baseball game in my life. Saw Kansas City and Bo Jackson and KC with the great Don Williams. Pretty sure summer of 89, a monster year for Bo. Are we talking like the real Don Williams? This is interesting. The real Don Williams? Or the musical Don Williams? I'm not sure. One Major League Baseball game, and you get to see Bo Jackson. That just doesn't seem fair. Bandwagon today. Here's the bandwagon that our friend Patrick Mahomes, and I don't think he would mind us saying so, is not on, judging from his tweet to the story. We give you, from Yahoo Sports, NFL tables Thursday night football flex scheduling, but ups the number of times a team can play the maligned time slot. I love the editorializing in the headline. NFL team owners voted to approve a change that will allow teams to play two Thursday night games on short rest in one season. According to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, teams previously had to play only one such game in a season. Measure one of many rules changes voted through by the franchise owners on Tuesday. Club owners also tabled a proposal that would have introduced the flex scheduling for the time slot. Previous reports indicated that such a system would allow Sunday afternoon games in weeks 14 to 17 to shift to Thursdays with 15 days notice. Mahomes, no, just a facepalm on that, on his emoji text. You've got John Mara from the Giants. called the idea abusive for fans who attend games. People have gotten used to going from Sunday afternoon to Sunday night. That doesn't mean that they like it. This year, we could be flexed to Monday night, which I think is really inconsiderate to our ticket holders. To flex a game back to Thursday night to me is just abusive. I am adamantly opposed to it. Fortunately, it didn't get enough votes today, but it will probably be revisited in May. Guess which owner is for it? Jerry Jones.
No.
Jerry Jones for it.
Yeah.
I am so not on that bandwagon. I get it. You had some dog games on Thursday night, and Al Michaels made fun of it.
I don't care.
Doesn't matter. You're really getting to the integrity of the sport with the flex scheduling the way that they're talking about here. And I am 100% on the Patrick Mahomes anti-bandwagon of that.
Way out.
This is bad for the product.
Way out on flexing to Thursday. I was out on flexing to Monday. I think that's so stupid. Schedule the games. Schedule good games on Thursday if you want a good game on Thursday.
And you can't always know.
Well, so, but you could put you could put Chiefs.
Yeah.
You could put Chiefs Chargers. You could put Cowboys Eagles. You could do some of these marquee matchups where even if it's a dog game, it's a marquee matchup. If Amazon needs it.
Are you saying Atlanta and Arizona may not have been the great choice to put on Thursday night last
year? That's what I'm saying, yes.
I love an owner standing up for the fans. I mean, okay, yeah, all of a sudden it's abusive, but whatever. Okay, yeah, I love that he's playing
abusive
that.
Abusive is a strong word, but it's inconsiderate for sure.
Yeah, I mean, how many people do you think from Lubbock, you know, go to Cowboy games? Quite a few.
Yeah.
And if you go from a Sunday to a Thursday 15 days out, you might not get to go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people have these things called jobs. Obligations.
I booked my hotel when we went to the Cowboys game last year. I booked my hotel way out. So I would have had a hell of a time trying to reconfigure my trip to Dallas.
I mean, almost every major rule change that they put in place on the field, what has it had to do with here over the last several years? Player safety. You can't tackle this way. We're going to eliminate this tackle. You can't lead with the helmet. You can't do that. You can't all these things. That has been the just we've had that not shoved down our throats, but that has been the siren song of the league. Hey, we're all about player safety. We're doing all these rules. You know, we may even eliminate kickoffs at some. Hey, but let's make them come back and play on short rest a couple of times during this new 18-game schedule or 17-game schedule, whatever you want to call it. Let's do that. Rob, that makes no sense. Oh, what it does make dollars and cents. But that they sit there with a straight face and tell you they're doing all this about player safety, and then one of the biggest things you can do to a player is get them back out on the field on short rest.
Here's my question. How does that make more money to flex a game? Is it eyeball dependent? Because isn't that ad money in that contract already done?
Yeah.
If more people watch, do they have to pay more?
I mean, is that Amazon? You know, is that Amazon coming to you and saying, "Hey, we got stuck here"?
What's the contract? How does because you're not playing an extra game, you're just playing a different game. It's still just one game on Amazon.
I liked your idea much better that you had. I don't know if it was top of there or what, one of the breaks about rethinking Sunday.
Yeah, just either add a window or stagger the start times to where you're playing at, 12, 2, 4, 6, whatever it is, get more local windows, get more. I mean, what does the red zone look like? And you're already trying to sell NFL tickets.
Right.
Or whatever else, the Sunday package.
I mean, give me.
Yeah.
Why do we have to start at 1 Eastern, noon Central? Start at noon Eastern, 11 Central, and roll on through the day.
Yeah. Or start at noon Eastern, noon Central, and noon Pacific, and have those games staggered. I mean, can you imagine red zone with staggered starts?
Yeah. And take me all the way through Sunday night.
Yeah.
Give me a 6 o'clock Sunday night, late game, and then the 8 o'clock Central. Maybe that's a little late. 7:30. Make it 7:30 Central, late game.
That's what it already is,
yeah,
right?
That's Sunday night. You keep it. But I'm saying you're staggering now. Because more and more people are going to watch the NFL, exactly what you're talking about, through the Red Zone, the Sunday Ticket, that we're still thinking like it's 1970 and there are three channels and, you know, you only get to watch two games on Sunday wherever you live. For really smart people, the NFL does a lot of dumb things. Texter on the text line, 806-855-3712. I'm on the bandwagon of being too dang fat. Says, I was flexed 1 year in Dallas versus 49ers, went from Sunday night to noon, and damn near missed the game. Yeah, I mean, it's right. I don't know that I would go as far as say it's abusive, but at least one owner cares about you. Not in Dallas. I've got a bandwagon I'm on. When we come back, we got a question of the day. Three greatest baseball players you've ever seen play in person. We got Tech Baseball. Waiting on McCasland. Oh, that was a great movie. 1980, Waiting on McCasland. Very good. I think Richard Gere was in that. 806-855-3712 for you to text in. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. It's 12:35. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Got you till 1 o'clock here in the Arctic Air Studios on Talk 103.9 FM, News, Money, Sports. Then it's the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2. ESPN 960 San Angelo. Y'all are with us till 1 o'clock. You got to get the app if you want to keep on listening to Rob down there. So do that. Go to KKM.com, download it, turn on notifications, and then just enjoy the experience, because that's what we want you to do. Three greatest baseball players you've ever seen play in person. Tomorrow is opening day. We celebrate that properly. Bandwagon Wednesday, the bandwagons you're on, the bandwagons you're off. Tech men's basketball just kind of waiting on North Texas to finish up the season. It looks like it is going to be Grant McCasland that they will be introducing at some point later on this week, maybe. Maybe next week, I don't know. And then Texas Tech baseball, an 11-10 loss in New Mexico. It was deja vu all over again for the Red Raiders on that one. RPI now sitting at 51, D1Baseball.com. So all that, whatever else is on your mind, let's jam up the text line, shall we? 806-855-3712. Texter says, I agree with the earlier texter. I don't like the McCasland hire, but if they do that, but I do like the committee, and I trust that they will make the best decision. If you don't, if you're still not on board, and hey, you don't have to be on board. I don't care.
Yeah.
If you're still not down with the McCasland hire, if you still think that that's not the guy you would have gone with, what is it? What is the reason that you're not sold on the McCasland hire? You know, that you can have that opinion. That's just fine. But I'm curious as to what the reasoning is. If you're one of those that is indeed sitting here today going, I just don't really like it. Is it that you didn't get, that they didn't get somebody you wanted? You know, is that it? Is there something philosophical? Is it you don't think he's proven enough? You know, whatever it may be. And that's all legitimate. That's fine. You can have that opinion. I'm just curious now that we have reached this point, what the backing is on that for some people. 806-855-3712. Texter on the three greatest players they saw play in person. Voice to text is mean on this one. Nolan Ryan, Pudge Rodriguez, and Ryan Sandberg. They obviously articulated Ryan Sandberg right, but it comes out R-H-Y-N-E. Ryan Sandberg, probably one of my last sports heroes, maybe, that you would have. Growing up in the 80s, I was not yet a Bud man, but I was certainly a Cubs fan, Harry. And one of the few autographs I have, a very good friend of mine got me when my son was born, a Ryan Sandberg autographed baseball for my son. Didn't even get it for me. Texter wants to know, could a Barrett Peary offense coexist with a McCaslin defense and both be effective?
No.
Yeah, we kind of touched on that earlier. That with a lot of the defense philosophy predicated on possession management, you know, that those two really don't, not to the extreme of the current McCaslin defense. Now, is there a medium in there? Is there some sort of happy medium that McCaslin would like to exist at? As Rob, it's like the quote you had the other day from him saying, hey, the reason we do this is because the players I have in the conference I'm in, and this is how we're going to win. Well, does that philosophy modify somewhat if you're in the Big 12, if you have players that perhaps are more adept at getting up and down the floor and scoring? I don't know.
No, but
that's who are you going to recruit if you're McCaslin, to what style?
But the Peary offense is completely wide open, as many possessions as possible, yeah, in your full court. It's not just an offense, it's a system. And you cannot get Peary in here and then have, yeah, the McCaslin system. They're two different systems.
And Peary's probably a bad example. Well, to take Peary out of the equation and say, okay, is there a more moderate form of this for the people who maybe want to see some more offense but still want to see some good defense too? I don't know.
No.
I don't know that we can see that.
No. It doesn't work. If you're getting McCaslin, you're getting McCaslin. Did either of the offenses that Mark Adams brought in do anything to affect his defense?
I'm not sure what the offense did.
Exactly. Now, if you get a high-level offensive coach, you can have a more efficient offense and have an offense that fits the defense, but you're not going to have a fast offense and a slow defense. It just doesn't work.
I think it was you the other day that I heard talking about this on the Rob Rowe Show, which would be you hosting it, about this kind of this idea of the offense coordinator, defensive coordinator thing in basketball.
Yeah.
And that it seems to me now it's getting a little, not out of hand, but it seems a little forced. That to me in basketball, you need a singular vision.
Right. You have a system.
Not two concurrent thoughts on offense and defense, that you are wedded to, like you said, a philosophy, a system. And if that's what it's got to be, that's the way it's going to be. But you can't have one guy just doing this thing over here on defense and another guy doing this on offense. It's not football. It doesn't work that way.
Now, that doesn't mean you have a bad offense. I think you can certainly bring in a guy who can have ball movement. And if you have a brilliant half-court offensive guy that can deflate a possession and score consistently and be efficient, which I think McCollum can,
mm-hmm,
lots of passing, lots of getting around, something that fits the defensive style, then yeah, because I do think that system works in the Big 12.
Agreed. I'm very intrigued to see, Rob, and we're just totally hiring McCaslin right now, but wonder what his dudes look like. What's a McCaslin dude look like, Big 12 level versus, you know, because he's dropping down a level in conference play. Let's be honest. Going from Conference USA, which is dominating the postseason, to the weak Big 12. So he's not going to have as good a basketball player and as good an athlete as he's had to have there at North Texas. No, I'm really intrigued to see what does that player look like? What does that forward look like? You went this last go-around and, you know, we've discussed it ad nauseum about some of the smaller guards that Texas Tech brought in and what was theoretically going to be an effort to become a better outside shooting team and blah, blah, blah. Offensively, we don't have to rehash any and all that. But I'm really intrigued that when he gets the keys to this thing,
right,
the portal's wide open. You can go find guys. You can pretty much go out and get any number of guys that will fit whatever you're trying to do, I would think. And by the way, Texas Tech is still a really good destination. That there will be players that will want to come to Texas Tech, fan support, recent success, facilities. They see the Womble, and the NIL is good too. Well, that'll work. Just that he's not going to have any problem rolling out on the recruiting trail and getting the people he needs to be successful year one. I firmly believe that.
Right, and I just got a text that said, not a fan of watching 40 to 50 point games. I am a fan of winning. Were you a fan in the round of 32 in 2019 when you won 55-44, whatever it was, 60-44?
Yeah.
Were you a fan of that to go to the Sweet 16?
Maybe people were griping, you know. Didn't like that. I still don't believe that the games will look like that when he is coaching in the Big 12.
Some of them will.
There might be a few. Depends on if you can get the other team to agree to go along with it. I think it'll be a little bit more high scoring, and that's okay. Bandwagon, I am on. By the way, you guys can text in 806-855-3712. Can we just make it permanent now on the Ludwig Aberg or Aberg, depending on which pronunciation you're going with at a given time. On the Ludwig Aberg bandwagon, he wins Valspar. This is his sixth career tournament win. It's a Texas Tech school record.
He's good.
This guy. And you know what's going to be interesting to watch? He's coming out and turning pro here fairly soon at maybe the best time to ever become to go from an amateur to a professional golfer. That you have two competing tours that will basically be bidding on your services. One, quite literally, will be bidding on his services with the LIV Tour. And then obviously the PGA, while they don't, you know, hand out contracts like that, I'm sure they're doing everything they can to make sure he is on their tour. Just unbelievable what this guy is doing right now. Is he going to play this weekend? I hadn't heard with him winning that tournament. Did that automatically qualify him for San Antonio this weekend? I need to double check on that and apologize. Let's see if we can find out from the TexasTech.com story if that will have him playing like he did out there in California. Doesn't say, not seen. All right, doesn't say if he's going to be playing on the tour event this weekend as an amateur. Either way, point stands. This could be a national championship winning team for Greg Sands. What are they ranked this week? Third in the country, I think. I mean, this is a team that you could have a national championship on the team side, and you could have a national champion in an individual. You got a couple of guys that might be capable of pulling that off. But remember, Texas Tech can't compete in sports like golf and track and field and tennis. That's reserved for the schools like the University of Texas. Only schools like that. Stanford, winners of the, what is it they call it, the Director's Cup or something, for 32 of the last 35 years because they sponsor 85. So, yeah, can't do it at Texas Tech. Well, from here it is still possible. All right, you guys get on the text line, 806-855-3712. Give me the three greatest baseball players you have seen play in person. Let's do some more bandwagons, the ones you're on, the ones you're off. Little Tech basketball on your mind? We can certainly discuss that. And then Texas Tech baseball, a critical, critical series with TCU coming up this weekend, made even more so after a 11-10 loss to New Mexico that stung the RPI, stings the nostrils. 806-855-3712, quick break. Finish up the day strong. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Final segment of the day here on Bandwagon Wednesday. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro in the Arctic Air Studios till 1 o'clock. Then it's the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2 on Talk 103.9 FM News, Money Sports, ESPN 960 in San Angelo. The question of the day, and you still have plenty of time to get in and then just keep the party going with Rob, is three greatest baseball players you've seen play in person opening day tomorrow for the major leagues. 806-855-3712. It's Bandwagon Wednesday, the ones you're on, the ones you're off, and then everything from Tech baseball to waiting on McCaslin right now to wrap up with North Texas to what we believe to be true will be come Texas Tech's next men's basketball coach. Texas says, I don't care if it's low scoring as long as we win. Hell, Dean Weiss at level N won a lot of state championships running four corners, would win state with a score of 30-24. Mm-hmm. Shot clock, high school basketball, please. Make it happen now. Was Scott Drew scouting McCaslin last night or poaching players or just watching an NIT game? He was there hanging out with his buddy, supporting his friend. McCaslin and Drew, close. I mean, a lot of people are saying, I think, Rob, and you probably hear this too, hey, this is just a stepping stone job for McCaslin, that he's going to become the next coach at Baylor here in a few years when Drew retires in 20 years. It's going to be a stepping stone job. You're going to get burned by this. This is a snake in the grass situation here. This is a plant by Baylor, and Tech is getting completely used by it. I'll say this, and again, I'm not pretending like I know the McCaslin bio background and everything, whatever. He really seems to be popular, though, amongst coaches. That, you know, you read some stories, you hear the different comments and whatever. I know it's a small sample size or anything, but he does seem to have a lot of respect and does seem to, have a lot of people in the coaching industry and fraternity like him. You see comments about him from other coaches, even analysts, that it's always, it seems to me, from what I've seen, really positive. Maybe they're just not talking to the one guy who can't stand him. I don't know. But that is a vibe that I have gotten. And dare I say, oh, why not? Just do it. Reminds me a little bit of the way coaches feel about Joey McGuire. That within his fraternity, his professional fraternity, McCaslin seems to be well-respected and well-liked. There's a lot to be said for that, in my opinion. And I wonder if maybe that is something that, again, by having a guy like McGuire on this committee, that, you know, that he can pick up on that he can sense that, see that. As I said, I think the things that McGuire brought to this committee, not just X's and O's basketball, but it's coaches. It's coaches knowing coaches. Coaches getting a feel for who's authentic and who is not.
You know, in college basketball is so much different than college football right now. Obviously, you have to recruit less bodies.
Right.
Just roster size and whatnot. But you also just spend so much less time recruiting high school athletes. Like, you might get two a class nowadays. You got five last year, and it was really too many. You probably should have focused on the portal more. You just don't have a roster with five freshmen very often. Unless you're going all out on NIL and doing the Duke and getting five of the top 10 recruits in the country.
Yeah.
And really, they don't even do that anymore. Kentucky and Duke don't do that anymore. So to have a guy like Joey, to get the basketball Joey, is that a guy who just garners so much respect amongst the transfer portal that other coaches are like, all right, if you're going to leave, you know, Grant McCaslin's great down there.
Yeah,
at Texas
he's a really good guy. I hate to see you go, but yeah.
Like, what's the benefit there? I don't know. I don't know what the equal is. Unless, you know, a bunch of agents and whatnot just like a guy. Well, is that the benefit?
Yeah, I don't know. To your point, though, about this year's Final Four, the first time since they started seeding the tournament that there is not a McDonald's All-American, a former high school McDonald's All-American, on a roster of one of these teams. And we go back to last week and how, remember when we were in crisis in college sports, according to Notre Dame people and the whole one-and-done and everything else. The one-and-doners aren't really winning you, are not the story now. That these teams are older. These teams are experienced. That we're flipping back around because of the ability to restructure your roster almost every year at will with the portal, and it all ties into NIL and everything else. That, you know, that is also allowing guys to stay around another year and not have to go be a marginal pro. It's probably a bad example, but I'll give you the Drew Timmy example. He's making about $1.5 million this year, or made $1.5 million in NIL money there with Gonzaga. That he's not getting that if he'd gone to the G League, or if he'd gone to, you know, whatever roster. He's probably not getting that type of money right now.
Right.
Now, that's a hyper example, I know. But that helped college basketball, having a guy, you know, he's a really good college basketball. So say what you will want about him personally or Gonzaga or whatever. I don't care. The game of college basketball is better when you have guys like that that have been around, that are known quantities and products that are marketable, and they're really good college basketball players. There's nothing wrong with being a really good college basketball player. See, I think you have to now look at that, what you just said. If you're taking more than two high school players, that's probably too many. Unless you got a whole team of them and you're just going to have them for a year or maybe two, and then you're going to rinse, repeat, and recycle. Well, there's just not going to be that many programs that are going to be able to do that. It's just not going to work that way. And again, all of these changes, I think, continue to benefit schools like Texas Tech, that continue to benefit the non-traditional powers, however you want to say it. We hate the term blue bloods. All these things are helping Texas Tech across the board, in my opinion. Got time to get maybe one or two more text messages in. 806-855-3712. Text her on the three greatest baseball players you've seen play in person. Too many to list. Three greatest: Nolan Ryan, Al Kaline, and Mariano Rivera. I saw the Yankees multiple times during that stretch, and I think I only saw Mariano Rivera pitch one time. Most of the time, they didn't need his services against the Rangers.
Right.
It is not a save situation. Really? Can't get a save when you're up six? Okay. The Rob Bro Show is looming. You can keep right on texting. 806-855-3712. Big Either Or Thursday show coming up tomorrow. I'll be back with you tonight. Twitter Live around 6:30-ish, daily broadcast. Jump on there and hang out with us tonight around 6:30. At Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter. The website, theraiderland.com. For Rob, I'm Ryan. We'll see you Thursday in Raiderland.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network.